In the realm of religion, all people are motivated by one of two things, either conviction or convenience. That sums it up. Now, what do you mean by this? Well, conviction is defined as the strong persuasion or belief. Strong persuasion or belief. The word convenience, on the other hand, means freedom from discomfort. Easy. And that operative word is easy. Really, all people are what they are and do what they do because they believe with all of their hearts that it is right, or because it is the easy thing to do, or perhaps they think there might be some advantage to be gained by what they're doing. As we consider this, the lesson of the hour, I would like to encourage all of us to consider this all-important question. Am I what I am today as a matter of conviction or convenience? Conviction or convenience? Now, in order to put this lesson into perspective, I want to consider together some biblical examples of those who were convicted, so we can get it in our minds what conviction really is. And we begin by turning our attention to an old friend, and his name is Job. Job, in the book which bears his name, in chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, we find here how he lost his oxen, his sheep, his camels, and his children all in one day. Then his body was covered with boils. In chapter 2 and verse 9, his wife came to him and said, "Renounce God and die." But in all of this, Job maintained his integrity. In Job 1 and verse 22, we find in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. And in Job 2 and verse 10, I want you to notice his response to his wife. "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Then, of course, in the Old Testament, we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar made a golden idol and commanded that when the musical instruments would sound, that all the people would bow down and worship at the golden idol. But these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three Hebrews refused to fall down and worship. So the king commanded that the three be bound and thrown into the burning fire. But in spite of this threat, the three chose to face death rather than disobey their God. And you know what? God spared them. In fact, There was not even any smell of smoke on their clothes. I don't think there's any doubt but what these men acted out of conviction. But there's also biblical examples in Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel, of course, was a young man, and Daniel had had conviction. He was a man who worked under King Darius, and Darius, though, had declared that no man should pray to any other god than himself. Just a little bit of an ego problem there. And if anyone did it, they would be thrown into the den of lions. But in spite of this, Daniel, in plain sight and with his windows wide open, bowed down and prayed to the God of heaven, just like he always did. But in keeping with the king's decree, Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. But whenever the king came the next morning, what did he find? He found Daniel safe. As the king had suspected, God had delivered Daniel. He had closed the mouths of the lions. No one can doubt that Daniel was a man whose actions were evidence of conviction. But we also have one of the greatest examples of conviction in the New Testament, and that example is Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Wow. That's strong. There's no doubt that a man who had faith in God and that he was a man who trusted in God's promises. But consider the things he suffered for the cause of Christ. They are listed for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, from the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness." That's what Paul had to go through. It was this unwavering conviction that gave him such a bold confidence as he was approaching death when he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. But, of course, there are also some examples that are not so worthy of emulation. And these people were motivated by convenience. The first one that comes to mind is a fellow named Jeroboam. In 1 Kings 12, we find Israel in a divided condition. Rehoboam was king over Judah and Levi. Jeroboam was king over the remaining 10 tribes. Being afraid that the people of the 10 tribes would desert him and go back to Rehoboam, Jeroboam erected 2 golden calves, one of them at Bethel and one at Dan. And so he says, this is your gods. This is your God. But why did he put them at Bethel and Dan? Why did he do it? Well, it was a matter of convenience, both for himself and for the people. The scripture says, this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on high places and made priests from every class who were not of the sons of Levi. Get it? He disobeyed God. First of all, by erecting idols, and then by appointing priests that are not of the sons of Levi. You know, sin will always result in the doing of things purely on the basis of convenience rather than conviction. But another example comes to mind, and that example is Judas Iscariot. He was another motivated by convenience. In Matthew 10, 2 through 4, Matthew 10, 2 through 4, we see that he was named as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But in John chapter 12, and all this is very familiar because we've all been studying this. In John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, in the house of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, we're told that Mary anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. On this occasion, Judas showed his first love was money. Why? This could have been sold, and we could have taken the money and put it in our treasury, and we could have given some. Yeah, right. John tells us he was a thief. He was a thief. Or we might call him an opportunist. One who takes advantage of opportunities without regard to principles or consequences. Boy, that says it. Apparently, Judas had no real conviction. Well, you say, hey, he was following Jesus. Why? Because it was a convenient opportunity for him to pilfer, to take money out of the bag. It's no wonder that he sold the Lord for a mere 30 pieces of silver. But some people that we all know quite well were also of this sort. The Pharisees. They were also motivated by convenience. Jesus used the words of the prophet to describe them in Matthew 15 and verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. Their commitment to God was limited to lip service. Jesus further explains their error in Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 25. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Their primary concern was their own selfish interests. Now, let's bring this lesson just a little closer to home. Let's ask this question. Why did you obey the gospel? That's assuming you have, okay? Why did you obey the gospel? Did you do it because you were convicted of sin? And because you were convicted that only through the blood of Christ could you have those sins forgiven? As Paul wrote in Romans 6 and verse 17, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Or, as you're contemplating this, is it possible that you simply went through the motions of baptism because you wanted to please a friend or please someone in your family? Was it an act of conviction or merely one of convenience? And while you're contemplating that, I want you to think of this question. Which do you think will please God? Which of these do you think will please God? Well, while we're getting serious about this thing, let's ask another question. Why do you attend the assemblies of the church? Is it because you want to worship your God in spirit and in truth as an expression of your love for God and your love for his son, Jesus Christ, which Jesus said in John 4, verse 24, we should do? Or do you attend the assemblies because you want to see friends and visit or show off some new clothes? Let's just get down to it. Are you here today because of deep conviction or because it's just the convenient thing to do? The conviction that one has is quite evident when they allow things that will not keep them from going to work to very easily keep them away from the assemblies of the church. Wake up with a headache. It's a work day. So you take a couple aspirin, you jump in the car and go to work. Get on Sunday morning, got a headache. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, I can't make it. That's when you find out whether you're acting out of conviction or convenience. Which is it? Which is it? Conviction or convenience? Now, finally, we want to ask the ones outside of Christ, why have you not obeyed the gospel? Now, it may be because of the fact that you are yet to be convicted of sin. But I'll tell you something real simple. Paul says in Romans 3, verse 23, all, that includes you and me, have sinned and thus fall short of the glory of God. So that settles that. But you say, well, I believe I've sinned, but I'm just waiting for a convenient time. Convenient time? Seems like a fellow named Felix was a ruler. And Paul was speaking to him. And in Acts 24, 25, he said, when I have a convenient time, I'll call on you. He wanted to wait for a convenient time. And there is no evidence or no record that indicates that he ever had that convenient time. Time ran out and he was lost. Believe me, dear one, if you are waiting for a convenient time, even if it does come, you will be acting as a matter of convenience and not from true, deep, abiding conviction. Now, question for all of us. Which is it for you today? Are you content to sacrifice your eternal soul, practicing a religion of convenience? Or are you prepared to show your conviction by your commitment to Jesus Christ in everything you say and do? The choice is yours. No one can make it for you. No one can make it for you. The choice is yours. And we stand ready to assist you in any way that we possibly can, consistent with the Word of God, for you to render obedience to your Lord and receive the forgiveness of your sins and be added by the Lord to his body, which is the church. The gospel is yours. What will you do about it? What will you do about it right now? Think seriously about these things. If there's any way at all that we can be of a service to you to help you in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want you to let us know. We'll be glad to do anything we can to help you.